Today is a big day for my first guest. He is talking publicly for the first time about a secret life that millions of his fans knew nothing about. Offstage, Backstreet Boy AJ McLean was battling for his life. At just 14 years old, AJ McLean became a member of the Backstreet Boys, one of the most popular boy bands in history. AJ was living a dream, performing to sold-out crowds of screaming young girls all over the world. When he stopped by our show, he told me that his life was too good to be true.
It's like, it's all my dreams come true, and our fans are great.
But sudden fame, money, and temptations became too much for him to handle. And soon, AJ, known as the bad boy of the Backstreet Boys, started living up to his reputation. He started drinking, doing drugs at all hours of the night. While making a music video for the song, The Call, he tried cocaine for the first time. He says after that, he was hooked. Eventually, his partying turned into an addiction he could no longer control. His problem was causing a rift in the group. AJ would show up late to rehearsals and sometimes not at all. At the height of his addiction, every single day he was drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels, using excessive amounts of cocaine, and taking 2 to 3 pills to help him sleep. On MTV show TRL, the Backstreet Boys, missing their fifth member, finally came clean with AJ's problems.
AJ is going to receive treatment for depression, anxiety, and his excessive consumption of alcohol.
And is it going to be for how long?
Initially for 30 days.
Please welcome AJ McLean. I say no to drugs.
Yes, I say no to drugs.
You now do that for one solid year?
One solid year now, yes.
One solid year. How hard has it been?
It's got its ups and downs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't really work my program the first time I got sober, mm-hmm. Which is going to automatically stop the process. Your chances of relapse are much higher. Mm-hmm. And I relapsed, and now I have a year again sober.
Now, would you say it's harder? I know it's got to be difficult no matter who you are. But if you're living a lifestyle as a rock and roll idol, right. I would think it would be tougher.
It is. I mean,
you're in an environment where you can get it easily, you have the money to get it. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more accessible between what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. Any city and state that you go to, if you have connections, when you're a drug addict and you're an alcoholic, you make connections in every city that you go to. So you know when you get there, you make the phone call before or after the show, and you get whatever you're gonna get.
When did you first start using?
First started using drugs the night of the call video shoot. It was
really?
The first time I tried uh-huh. cocaine. We had our individual call times were in the evening. So we had, the entire video shoot was meant to be shot in the evening. Mm-hmm. So we all had call times, 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. And we only shot once at a group, which was the very final scene in the video. Mm-hmm. Everyone else shot individually. I went out that night for my solo shot, had a couple drinks that night, went back to my hotel room, passed out for like an hour, had to wake up, and I was completely groggy. And a friend of mine that was in the hotel room with me said, look, I've got some coke. If you want to pick me up, just do 2 bumps and, you know, whatnot.
And you'd never done coke before?
No. Mm-hmm.
And it was a conscious choice, because obviously you've been exposed to it.
I've been exposed to it,
yeah.
And the way I look at all drugs, alcohol, any type of addiction, I don't, for me personally, believe in addictive personality. Everything mm-hmm. is by choice.
Yeah.
You choose to continue doing the drug repeatedly. You mm-hmm. choose to drink excessive amounts.
But doesn't there come a point when you've had so much in your system that it becomes harder to make the choice to let it go?
It becomes harder to make the choice to let go, as well as it becomes harder to get the high, because mm-hmm. your body becomes so immune to it.
So you need more.
You need more and more and more to get the buzz that you got the first time.
So at your peak, I would say, at your drug peak, how much were you taking?
I was doing about a fifth of Jack Daniels a day, about an 8-ball of coke a night.
What's an 8-ball of coke?
8-ball of coke, I believe, is more than a gram. It might be 2 grams. Mm-hmm. It's about a baggie, about that big, mm-hmm. about that wide, full. Usually, I would get it in rock form or crack mm-hmm. cocaine. Mm-hmm. And then break it up and, you know, snort it,
Would you smoke it too?
Never smoked it. Mm-hmm. I never got that far. Never did anything intravenous. I have a fear of needles. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know what the tattoo is, but I have a fear of needles.
I'm just gonna say.
Yeah, I don't like the straight needle. I can deal with this tattoo, but it just got progressively worse. And you know, between the alcohol and then doing so much cocaine, I would be up till 6-7 in the morning. I would then take prescription pills such as Xanax. Or
what does it do for you?
Xanax is a prescription drug for anti-anxiety, mm-hmm. but the excessive amount I would take would put me straight to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I would finish it off with a shot of Jack Daniels to make sure I went to sleep.
And so you weren't afraid of, like, ODing?
I did OD twice mm-hmm. that nobody knew about. First time I OD'd, I was with my girlfriend at the time, mm-hmm. and I drug her through the trenches as well. Mm-hmm. I got her to do coke with me. I didn't want to be on a different plane than her. I wanted mm-hmm. her to be wherever I was in my head. Mm-hmm. And I got it from someone that wasn't a reliable source. I believed that it was laced with something else, probably speed. Mm-hmm. And the reaction I got was not the same reaction I got when I did coke normally from the people that I got it from, that mm-hmm. I trusted. Mm-hmm. And went into convulsions, hard sweats, foaming at the mouth. My eyes rolled back in my head for about 10 seconds. It was just a horrible thing. I wouldn't take myself to the hospital because I didn't want anyone to know that I was doing drugs. Mm. So I just stayed at home and dealt with it.
Because you're still performing regularly during this time.
I didn't want anyone to know. The boys didn't really know. You know,
the boys didn't know.
They didn't know that I had been doing coke yet. They knew about the excessive drinking.
Because mm-hmm. how did this show up in your work?
Lack of responsibility, mm-hmm. a lot of flaking on the guys, not showing up for rehearsals. Vocally, my performance had gone straight down. Mm-hmm. I couldn't hang on stage as much. I was winded all the time. Bags under my eyes, lack of sleep, a lot of lack of sleep.
Were they ever trying to talk to you about it? Did they ever approach you about it?
Kevin approached me a couple times about mm-hmm. it and said, you know, he kind of approached me and kind of asked me, he's like, dude, are you doing other things besides, you know, alcohol? And I actually came to him in a hotel room in New York one time and I said, hey, do you want to do some, you know, blow with me, do you want to do some coke with me? And he's like, no, I don't do that. And then that was the first time I think he really knew
that you were,
that I was.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, I kept it a secret for a pretty good amount of time.
Well, just last night AJ returned to one of his old drinking hangouts and our camera crew's with him. That's coming up next. But that's hard to do, is it?
It is.
Yeah, we'll look at that when we come back. We'll be right back.